News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. Phil Williams here, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, we are going to spend some time now talking to someone who I feel like is a close personal friend because I hit like on everything he does on Twitter. But in truth, we're kind of getting to know each other even now on the air. But Scott Buttram is coming on the air with us right now. He is the publisher of the Trustful Tribune, and you would love his tweets. If you follow anybody on Twitter, I'd check out at Scott Buttram because literally, if you're a conservative, he will fall right in line with you. Hey, Scott, thanks for calling into Right Side Radio, man. How are you doing?
Hey, Phil, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely.
Pretty exciting stuff to be on your show.
Well, I'm glad to have you. And I was just saying, if you could hear me, I hope you did, that I feel like we're like, you know, old friends because I literally hit like on like almost everything you do on Twitter, which is high
well,
compliments, I guess.
That's mutual. I find myself liking your tweets a lot. And obviously, we have a lot of the same philosophies when it comes to conservatism. And yeah, I would welcome new followers to help replace the ones that unfollow me every time I tick them off.
Well, speaking of which, you know, you're a conservative in the news and I'm a conservative on the radio, which means that every once in a while, even though our friends in politics might be Republicans, we still have to call balls and strikes. And I'm sort of concerned. I mean, we got a special session coming up next week. And we still don't know yet what the call from the governor will be, but do you think they will do anything on vaccine mandates in a special session?
You know, I don't know. I don't know if they'll do it in a special session. I feel, and you've watched, in fact, you've participated in enough of these legislative sessions to know that anything political is probably going to come up in the general session. And I suspect it will then. I just don't know with this redistricting and this in the current special session that they're getting ready to start, I think next Wednesday. I think that is going to be so contentious that they probably won't look at anything else. That's just my guess.
Well, and it may very well be. You know, I don't know if you saw it or not, but State Senator Arthur Orr, he came out the other day and urged the governor to go ahead and issue an executive order on her own, giving them time as a legislature to come to something they could do as a body. And I do see that as being something that would be workable, and I think it'd be well received by the general populace.
I think it would be well received. And I would certainly understand, you know, why we would put in a ban on mandates. I've got to tell you, though, the conservative side, the free market side, I've got some concerns, and I don't know if they're concerns. I'd probably be okay if they did it, to be honest. But if they, my one concern would be our opposition to the mandates, or my opposition to the mandates, is I believe that Americans should be able to decide for themselves, and I don't like the things that Washington is dictating. To citizens, I don't like what they're dictating right now with Joe Biden's mandates. I think it's going to hurt our country. I think it already is hurting our country. But I kind of feel like that same freedom should apply to the independent business owner.
I totally agree.
You know, they either reap the rewards or suffer the consequences for their decision. But I'm always going to lean toward letting the market choose.
And I completely agree with that. I made a comment earlier that we have to be careful for what we ask for, because if you start saying that you need regulation to overcome regulation, then later on, guess
right.
what? They're going to regulate the opposite direction. You're not going to like it.
And, that's right. It will.
And I think, though, and here's what I'm looking at. There's a bill floating around right now. I'm not sure if you've seen it, but House Bill 31 is being floated right now by some legislators. And the business community, and I'm not sure they're wrong, believes that it could open up the old doors of what we used to call tort hell, where businesses got sued at the drop of a hat in Alabama. And we don't want that per se. But there's a way forward on this. I think one of the easy way forwards is exactly what our attorney general called for most recently, where he said, just tell businesses they have to allow religious accommodation and they have to allow a doctor's notification saying they don't believe that for medical reasons that they should have to take the shot. And if you'll enforce that, and not look aside from it, you're going to be fine, businesses. And I think that's reasonable.
I do think that's reasonable, and I think that's probably a good approach. You know, when Governor Ivey put in place, you know, no vaccine passports and all that, how long did it take a university, and you and I discussed it as it was happening in real time, to try to figure out a way around it to still punish their students who weren't vaccinated? So sometimes the approach that Marshall's suggesting, sometimes that's a better approach.
Well, I think it is. And I think that would also be in line with federal law, but it would also clearly send a signal that we're watching what's happening in Alabama. We're not going to open the floodgates for overly regulatory responses to other overly regulatory issues, but that nonetheless, businesses, you got to consider the employee as well as your own money-making ventures, and they have to go hand in glove. That's who we are as a people, at least you hope that we are.
You're exactly right. And, you know, here's another just kind of a reinforcement of what Marshall has suggested. We already have that with school vaccines. You know, there's a lot of vaccines that are required by Alabama public schools, but religious exemptions exist. Medical exemptions exist. They always have. And in fact, if you look at the numbers, they have increased dramatically over the last 20 years, where more and more students aren't getting all the immunizations. They may get some and they may not get some. and some parents are just opposed to them altogether. So we are allowing exceptions to vaccines and have been doing it for a while.
Yeah, and I think what you do, you'll find out, I mean, in my own personal military service, I was in uniformed time frame when they did the anthrax vaccine. It was being mandated across the military, and ain't nobody wanted that thing, including me, and I resisted to the extent that I could. And then eventually the government backed off and decided to do away with the program because they recognized that what they were doing was forcing someone to take something that had not been proven. And they were affecting readiness at the same time. And I think you'll see that in the private sector eventually. Like you said, the businesses will have to face the consequences of their own actions with their employees.
Yeah, and they will. And, you know, there are certain businesses that if they put a mask or a vaccine mandate on their employees, then right now, that, you know, employees are at a premium, so you run that risk. I'll tell you, I was in Rome, Georgia. This weekend. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I brag on Gadsden's downtown all the time. Rome, Georgia is next level in their downtown area. And I was enjoying it, but I walked up to a business door and they had a sign up that said, you know, mask required. And I actually ended up going across the street to a competing business and dropping about $200. So, I'm not opposed to them requiring a mask, but I didn't have a mask. And I've been vaccinated, so I wouldn't worry about carrying a mask. So the free market can resolve a lot of this if government will get out of the way. Where have we heard that before?
Oh, my goodness. Wouldn't that be a novel thing if everybody remember that concept? You can use that concept in school choice. You can use that concept in running an economy. It's amazing. But listen, in the few minutes we got left for the next break, let me ask you this about the special session. So redistricting. Yeah. That's coming up. And, you know, I think I was saying this on another show, on Jeff Poor's show this morning. I dialed into him and you know, I would bet that the vast majority of Alabamians are not even really aware of who their particular House representative or state senator is. And I understand that. I served in the state Senate, and there are a lot of folks who had no idea that I was their senator. But nonetheless, there are those who do care. And right now we're seeing a special session next week on this very topic of redrawing the lines, and the maps won't even be available for public view until maybe the day before the session. And I find that a bit odd.
Yeah, Jeff and I had the same conversation this morning, Phil. I was on at 11, so I may have just picked up where you left off.
Oh, you did. I called in at 10:30.
And you know, as someone who has served in the legislature, that's by design. They don't want it out there because they don't want a lot of public input, so they're keeping it close to the vest. They'll put it out at the last minute. My huge concern, and I'm sure you share it, is one district that may be in question is the district in Montgomery that happens to be the location of the biggest school choice advocate in the state legislature.
Absolutely.
And I'm not so sure that's not by design.
Oh, I think it's absolutely by design. You're talking about Charlotte Meadows And she's a friend to me and this show, and she's been a longtime school choice advocate, the only member of the legislature I know of who sued or got sued by the teachers union, formed a charter school, which is going well, and they have fought her every step of the way, and now she's in the legislature, and lo and behold, hers is the district that's being gerrymandered into a far different geographic district than you would ever imagined.
Right. Well, we know that the Alabama Republican Party instructed candidates, what I think I'm going back 20 years now, not to accept campaign donations from AEA. And we know that for at least the last 10 years, and certainly the last 5 years, more and more Republican candidates are accepting that AEA money. We're seeing it reflected in the Literacy Act and the way that went back and forth. AEA is trying to buy their way back into control of Alabama, and there is no bigger opponent to school choice than AEA, except maybe the Association of School Boards. And it's all about money for them. It's not about the kids. When a parent makes a decision to move their child to a charter school or a Christian school or private school or homeschool, they are making the decision that they think is best for their child. When AEA and the Association of School Boards fight school choice, they're making their decision based on money. So with all the things coming out of Washington these days, we need to be running headlong into school choice, not avoiding it, not cutting it back, and certainly not watering it down.
Well, you are certainly preaching to the choir right here, but that is absolutely the truth. Well, Scott, listen, man, we are up against a break that we got to take, and this went great. I'd love to have you back on the show more often. So thank you for dialing in today, and we certainly appreciate your stance and the fact that you are with the Trustful Tribune. All right. Hey, folks, that's Scott Buttram, publisher for the Trustful Tribune, and literally somebody who sounds like he's a right-side ruffian down there running the news, and I'm glad of it. All right, folks, listen, taking that short break, going to come back and kind of wrap up this topic of maybe what could happen in the state legislature. What do you want to have happen? Call in if you want to. Love to hear your thoughts on it. Phil Williams, Lightside Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.